Well, hello everyone. My name is Harry Strasser. I am Director of Education and Membership Development for ACA International. One of the pressing topics for members of our association, everyone within the credit and collections industry, has been the idea of compliance. We have worked on a very firm and very aggressive compliance foundation for many years, and one of the challenges that we have is how to relate those important compliance concepts to those staff members that work within our members' organizations. And I am very pleased to have the opportunity to have with us today a friend of mine, Justin Muscolino, head of North American Compliance and Training Operations for Governance, Risk, and Compliance Solutions. Justin and I have had an opportunity to get to know one another over recent months, and I'd like to welcome you to our call today, Justin.
Thank you very much, Harry, and a perfect introduction.
Well, thanks for taking the time on this podcast today to talk about what a topic that is very much within your realm, compliance and training and the importance of these concepts to not only members of the credit and collections industry, but for many industries across the world. So let me just get started with a couple of questions, Justin. Let me ask you, why do organizations struggle so much with culture, and what impact can compliance training have to improve that dynamic? You know, what are some of the things that you've seen?
No, that's a good question, Harry. Being in the industry or being in the financial services industry for a long period of time, there's, you know, a few approaches organizations can take when it comes to their compliance culture. They could either pay a small sum and be proactive or pay a large sum and be reactive. And because compliance or the compliance culture in general, I mean, if you look at it from a different perspective, it's a non-revenue producing area. You know, corporations tend not to invest much into it. But to me, that's a big mistake, because compliance training can really alter the culture of an organization. I know it sounds silly or a little bit insurmountable, but if you can educate individuals on the right way to see things, right way to do things, creating that sense of urgency, you know, it can make the environment a lot easier and a lot cleaner, and, you know, allow the higher up executives to sleep well at night knowing that their employees are trained right, the culture is on the right point where, you know, issues are escalated, things are, you know, discussed and remediated right away before things get out of control. You know, that's where compliance training could really come in and enhance, say, compliance culture of an organization.
That makes a lot of sense. That ties right into one of the core training programs that we offer at ACA's program on ethics. And one of the main points that we make is that ethical, compliant companies are more productive. They keep themselves out of trouble, so their time is better spent because they're not dealing with compliance related issues from staff. And so this is a key issue in our industry every day. Whether a player in our industry is very small with 3 or 4 or 5 employees, or on the upper end of the spectrum with thousands of employees, no matter how large you are, compliance is important, and it is a challenge to determine how do we train our staff on compliance, how much should we do. Like you said, you know, do we do the 1-hour program once a year to say we did compliance training, or do we really take it seriously and it's an ongoing type of measure? In your opinion, what do organizations often get wrong when it comes to training?
Well, I guess I'm going to bring up one of my big pet peeves. It's, as you know, Harry, tick the box. You know, in my experience working with organizations and working in organizations, there's, you know, sometimes, you know, time constraints are under consideration and you do have to tick the box. But if you have a solid plan, you're organized, and you stagger your plan out during the course of the year, you could be really efficient with people's times and also create targeted training. Now, my philosophy is, if I'm taking somebody away from their desk for a half hour or an hour, and they're not able to do their day-to-day operations, I want to make their time worthwhile in a classroom or whatever medium that I'm delivering. So I get to know the individuals, their roles, responsibilities. And my ultimate thought is, how do I increase the level of retention as much as possible? Because in my firm belief, and this could be just more common sense, the higher the retention, the lower the risk in the workplace. That's my philosophy. So if I could connect with staff, understand what makes them tick, and how to present material that's going to be effective and they can retain it, then I'm taking advantage of their time and I'm making really good use of it. So that's what I see when people get wrong. Either they just want to tick the box and get through the exercise, and they're not really paying attention to what's in the best interest of the organization as a whole.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And as a matter of fact, you know, the regulators in our industry, the CFPB, they not only want you to be doing training and prove that you do training, but they're concerned about the retention. They want you to quantify that your staff gets it. And so there are a number of companies that have emerged that do a lot of drip testing where staff members get a question a day on compliance and they answer it, and there's a dashboard that scores them throughout the year. So I think companies that take it seriously are going to make that type of an investment instead of that you know, 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 minute program once a year. What happens when organizations do not target their training and they don't take it important as a level of importance?
Well, the thing of it is, you look at the compliance culture, I mean, what are you really doing? I mean, if you're taking people away from their desks for a period of time and they're not learning anything, then to the organization, you're not being productive. I mean, the way I look at it, training should be creative and sometimes I even say entertaining and capture people's attention. So if you're taking them away from their desk, you want to have an impact on their roles, on the culture as a whole, on the organization, because that's what it's about. I mean, you think of it from a manufacturing facility. If people aren't working or they're not designing or creating a product for an hour or two, that's loss. Productivity for the firm. That's how I kind of look at it. You're losing out time. And I think time is extremely valuable in any sense of the word. So to me, it's really important. Do it right the first time. Don't worry about the regulators, because as long as you're looking at your risks within the organization and you're doing what's right for the staff and the overall compliance culture, the regulators are going to look very positively on you. They want you to control the risk. I mean, they want you to control the risk within borders. So your training shouldn't be really about the number of hours. I know a lot of firms have like an hour requirement. You know, that's fine for them, but it's not the number of hours. It's really how do you use that time and how do you educate staff to do things the right way and understand when they see something wrong, they should escalate it. To me, that's my approach.
No, I think you're right on, and I like your idea that compliance training can be entertaining. I think one of the problems that a lot of companies have and a lot of attendees to training have is that they just they moan when they think of having to go through a compliance training program, and it doesn't have to be that way. Quite frankly, I just did a whole day compliance program for a large company about a week and a half ago. And you could tell at the beginning of the day that the group thought it was pretty ominous that we were going to be in that room for 6 hours. And some of them by the end of the day said, God, this was great. This was fun. This was engaging because it dealt with what they do every day. And I think that's the key within compliance training, too, is that you're training on dynamics that are related to what staff members do on a regular basis so they can relate to it. You know, one of the issues that organizations face is measuring the effectiveness of their training. And they're benchmarking regarding that training. Any suggestions around benchmarking?
Yeah, absolutely. Measuring the effectiveness of really whatever you do is extremely important because you want to see the return on the investment. I mean, why do something if you can't measure the success or failures of it? So if you look at it, say a team, just we'll take a hypothetical team, attends a training, where are they at now? Like, how do you know, what level of experience or education are they at? And what areas need work on or enhancement? So you have to look at what is the current state and what is the future state that you want to get to or a manager wants to get to. You know, anytime I do any type of training initiative, whether it's e-learning, webinar, classroom, you know, it's important for me to gauge where they're at because, and it's also important to know the gaps and opportunities as well. So I could see where they get to in a week, 2 weeks, or a month later on. And there's a couple of ways you can do it. I mean, I was, believe it or not, I am actually certified in effectiveness measurements from the Kirkpatrick Institute. And, you know, their model works for me really well, but I've tweaked it a little bit. One, you can look at the behavior. You know, has the behavior changed? If you look at exception reporting, are the same errors being made? You know, what's management's view or the manager's view of how they're performing their tasks and responsibilities now? You could look at an assessment. Now, you could do a pre-assessment, I think you mentioned this, and a post-assessment. You know, are they still making the same mistakes? Are they understanding the information? And then there's one which I find kind of difficult at times, and, you know, we call that the feedback sheet or the happy sheet. You know, it's kind of hard to use that and to practice when you really do have to show up for a training and it's mandatory. And I do leverage those, but not so much for the actual presentation, but the materials, you know, what information has come in, you know, what do people want to get out of it. So there's a lot of ways that you can measure the effectiveness and also benchmark where people are at and where you want them to get to.
Yeah, I completely agree. I want to pick up on something you mentioned about making sure you don't make the same mistakes again. We offer at ACA a program called PPMS, and PPMS, Professional Practices Management System, helps organizations become a better organization through not only compliance but managing the whole process. And we often talk about, you know, a root cause analysis. You know, we actually have a whole program, a seminar on that topic. If something's going wrong, let's figure out what went wrong. And let's resolve it today so it doesn't happen again tomorrow and the next day. And a lot of organizations, they make that mistake, unfortunately. You know, I was looking at one of your blogs that you posted in your website where you look at the training compliance professionals and how they improve their culture, and you look to them to improve their own culture. Explain what you mean by compliance officer program and what do you want them to get out of it?
Yeah, so this is like kind of my baby. You know, way back when, I would say about 10, 15 years ago, when I was, I think I was heading my first compliance training department, I realized that the compliance culture of the organization is probably not where it should be at. You know, there were some regulatory difficulties and a few actions, and we really had to look at the compliance culture and, you know, enhance it. So I was trying to think of a way. You know, my messaging was good. It was getting out there. The CCO's messaging was getting out there. But we weren't leveraging compliance officers. And I thought that was a big void. Now, typically in most organizations, you have compliance officers that are aligned to each business or represent a business. So what if you could actually train them to enhance their capabilities in many different areas and spread that consistent message around the organizations, but, you know, in particular, the businesses that they're aligned to? You know, it's kind of like it was an extension of me and it was an extension of the CCO. So I created a program, it was about 10, 11 years ago, and I've been working on it ever since, and I use it today. You know, it's soft skill related, but it's also some product knowledge too. You know, I teach compliance officers how to be more effective in meetings, how to understand their target audience from really a psychological perspective, you know, how to do well in different environments and different type of elements. and be able to be a trusted advisor to the business so they know when to call on a compliance officer and they know their real value. So I've been tweaking it along the years, and it got to a point where, you know, it, believe it or not, like it did get accredited in certain areas of the globe, and it's spread pretty well. But I'm still working on that today. But I think that's a huge thing that organizations should take into account if they want to alter their compliance culture and make it more positive.
Makes a lot of sense to me. And I think you make an important point in that when we think of compliance training, it's not just all nuts and bolts of compliance and rules and regs, but you know, some of the soft skills are important too, because those soft skills interplay with how trainers relate to their staff that they're training and managing, and also soft skills have a lot to do with how people come across on a phone as a debt collector or someone in customer service. So very important part of the process, and happy to hear you've done so well with your endeavors in that regard. Kind of a final question as we wrap things up today, Justin, any advice for companies trying to get the right culture in their organizations?
Yeah, look within and figure out, you know, do your own needs analysis. Figure out what is your current state and figure out where you want to get to. You know, there's a lot of different elements you could take into account to get to that future state that you envision. You know, compliance officers, yeah, that's a great way to get there. There's other ways too, but the only way you're really going to find out is by doing a needs analysis and, you know, finding those areas of opportunity or the gaps that you can improve upon. And if you really want to do it and you put in the time, it's amazing what it could do for an organization and change the mentality, the employee morale, you know, reduce regulatory actions, even audit issues I've seen reduced because of it. So it's just taking the time and doing the right thing for your organization and the people that work there.
Well, Justin, I thank you for your insight today. As Director of Education with ACA, certainly education is important to me, and much of the educating that we do is compliance related. Your thoughts, your perspectives, and your many years of experience in the compliance and training realm have been very helpful today. So we are very happy to have had with us Justin Muscolino, Head of North American Compliance Training Operations for the Government's Risk and Compliance Solutions Limited. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to another podcast by ACA in the near future.